And today, I want to talk about seeds. I want to talk about seeds. And every seed brings forth according to its kind, meaning that an apple seed is going to create and produce apples. An orange seed is going to create and produce oranges, right? Every seed, a corn seed will bring forth and produce corn. So every seed will bring forth according to its kind. You know, there was one exception to that, and that was in the movie Secondhand Lions. I don't know if you saw that movie. It was a great movie. But Secondhand Lion, I think it was singular. And it was these two old guys, and they bought some seeds from this traveling salesman, that, you know, and they were going to have a great garden. They bought cucumbers and tomatoes and corn and, you know, pumpkins and everything you'd want to have in your garden to make it incredible. And they planted all the seeds. And when they came up, everything looked the same. The salesman basically had basically sold them corn. Everything in every package, no matter what it said, was corn. So in that case, it brought corn. Now, but again, it wasn't an exception because they did plant corn seeds and they got corn out of it. So every seed brings forth according to its kind. So we got to understand this is the process of God. God made seeds for us. And we have to understand how seeds are working. I'm kind of scared a little bit in the world right now. And I shouldn't be, because we got to know God already has a plan. And he already knows what to do with it. And I'm talking about that there are seeds that are being genetically modified. They're being changed. And they're being changed so that they don't bring forth seeds. Yeah. In other words, they don't produce seeds. And in fact, they produce a product that is resistant to bugs and resistant to chemicals and resistant to life and resistant to digestion. And all these other problems that it's creating. So as a result of it, it's really a Franken-food. You know, it's a mutated food. And as a result, remember, it's going to bring forth according to its kind. So if it's a Franken-seed, it's going to bring forth Frankenstein. All right? It's going to produce that as well. But as I said, God already knew that that was going to happen, and God has a plan to deal with it. So we shouldn't worry about it. We should put our faith in God and know he's got a plan to change this around. Because he was the one that created seeds, and no matter how much we try to tamper with them, affect them, modify them, change them, his seeds are perfect. His seeds are working the right way. I want to go first to a scripture. This is a parable that Jesus told. This is about the sower. I don't know if you remember this parable. I'll go through it quickly so you kind of can be reminded. So he spoke by a parable. Here's what Jesus said. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he said these things, he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So here he's talking about a sower going out and sowing a seed. But this is a very good parable, as all the parables are very deep. Jesus, when he was telling them, really had a lot of information going into the parables, and we want to start to understand what he was talking about. This particular parable, he explained it very clearly to us, what's happening. Because here, a seed is supposed to go in the ground, not all of it produced, though. God's kingdom, God's way, is that when the seeds are put out there, they are to produce something. They're to produce. And the last one created 100-fold. So a crop of 100-fold was produced by that seed. Anytime we're sowing into the kingdom of God, we should be expecting a harvest. It should come back. Why doesn't it come back? Well, Jesus is talking about why it doesn't come back sometimes. So if you've been sowing a seed, if you've been believing in the kingdom of God and been sowing seed, but you haven't been receiving, you haven't been reaping your crop, you haven't seen the 100-fold blessing yet, and maybe you're thinking, is this going to happen? What's going on? I don't understand it. Jesus has basically explained this. So let's go down and take a look. What did he say about these different things? Now he says, the seed is the word of God. This is what Jesus is explaining about the parable. In this parable, the seed is the word of God. So we have the word. You can also think of it as faith, because we know that we receive faith through hearing and hearing through the word of God. So when we hear the word of God, we receive faith. Our faith grows. So this is the seed that we're talking about. This is the seed that is being received, is the Word of God. Now, why doesn't everybody receive the Word of God? Why doesn't it sprout and grow a hundredfold in all conditions? Because that's what God created it to do. So what's causing it not to do that? Those that fell by the wayside. So the ones that fell by the wayside and were devoured, he says, are the ones who hear. So they hear the word, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So basically, they receive the word of God, they receive faith, they hear it, and they have it, and then it's taken away right away. You might have experienced this when you suddenly hear something, you hear a word of God, you hear something that gets you really excited about God and the kingdom of God, and you're going, oh wow, that's powerful. You get fired up and go, that's incredible. And then right away, you hear some bad news. Or right away, somebody else says something that makes you upset. And all that joy and all that was fired up there just a moment ago is gone. And you forget about it because now you're focused on this problem. You're focused on this argument with this person, or you're focused on this tragedy that you suddenly heard about. That's why it doesn't bring a hundredfold in your life. When we hear the word of God, when we receive the words of faith, we got to hang on to them. Don't let them be stolen out of your heart. You got to cling to it and hang on to it. Don't let it be pulled away. This is one of the ways it's going to grow. Because if you let it go, that's it. Don't let it be stolen from you. When you receive something from God, cling to it. What do I mean by cling to it? That's what we've been doing in our faith-building campaign, as we've been building our faith muscles. We're reading the verses. We're meditating on the verses. And we're getting it. We're getting it so that, not so that something distracts us and takes it away from us, but that it's there in the forefront of our mind. It's there in our hearts right away. We're not letting it be stolen away by little things of the world. So this is what Jesus is talking about. Let's go on to the second one. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. So the ones that fall on rock, again, these are people who receive the word, but it hasn't grown a root in them. We need the word of God, faith, to get rooted in us. And to get rooted in us, first we have to hold on to it, but now we have to continue to nourish it, continue to feed on it. You want to continue to hear the words of faith so they grow roots, so they get right down into your heart, get down into your soul, so that they have a really good foundation. So that in times when you're challenged, when suddenly something comes up that challenges you to push you in a direction away from God, to away from faith, to make you feel like, oh, faith doesn't exist, it doesn't work, that ain't going to happen to you because you've got good roots. There's no way they can pull you out, no matter what's said or what's done or what happens in the world, if your roots are strong in the Word of God, in faith. You can't be pulled away from it. You can't be pulled out of it. But you got to get those roots growing. You got to get those roots growing, and you do that through repeatedly nourishing your faith, feeding your faith, meaning continue to receive the word of God, repeatedly receive it. You receive it continuously so that those roots begin to grow within you, so that during a time of temptation, it won't get pulled out. You'll stand strong, rooted in it. It doesn't matter how strong the wind blows, a tree with good roots does not fall down. It holds its ground. If there were no roots in that tree, the wind would come, a little breeze, and that thing would fall over like nothing. But we want to have good roots in our faith. So remember, the seed is the word of God. That's the seed that the Lord is speaking about here. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked by the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So these ones, they did grow up. They grew up with the thorns, but then they got choked out by them. And this happens to people who, they got the word of God. The word of God begins to grow in them. But then the problem is you get distracted by what's happening out there. Oh my goodness, there's a party out there that's more fun than in here. Oh my goodness, it's Super Bowl week. Let's go do that instead of this. Instead of doing the things of God. So the cares of the world begin to distract us. And if we get distracted by those, it chokes our faith. Our faith will get choked, and then we will not bring forth a great crop. We will not receive that crop. So again, we have to cling to the word of faith, the word of God. We have to cling to it, hold it, don't let it be stolen away. Continue to nourish on it so the roots grow, so they get strong. And then don't let yourself get distracted by bright, shiny things out in the world that say, this is more fun. No. We know, and you know, if you've experienced the pleasure and the joy of God, that there is nothing more fun. He brings something inside of us, a love and a greatness that cannot be duplicated. And that's what we want. That's what we need in our life. And that's the seed that's being nourished. So as Jesus is talking about this parable, he's telling why they do not come forth. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, and bear fruit with patience. You want to bear fruit with God? You want to bring forth, according to that seed, the word of God? We gotta continue to have a good heart, be noble, and just keep it. Keep it in our heart, and it will bear fruit. The word of God will produce. It will produce great things if we keep it in our heart and keep it growing. So that's why we're working on this faith-building campaign. That's why we continue to repeat it, because we're getting the roots in there. We don't want it to be torn out by the roots or have no root and get blown away. We want to get it down in there. Now, let's go to John 1:14. It says here, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, in this parable here, Jesus just said, the seed is the word of God. But now it says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's talking, who was it that was the word that became flesh?
Jesus.
Jesus was the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Father, of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word that he's speaking about in this parable is not only the word of God, it's him. He is the seed that is being spoken about. He is the seed that is being sown into our hearts. It's Jesus. He is the seed, and he was the truth. He was the word of God made flesh. So everything that it talks about in the word, he embodied that. He was the epitome of it. He fully, you know, became that and came into the world. Full of righteousness, full of goodness. And it was so that that seed could be planted in our hearts. So that we could receive that seed, meaning Jesus. Meaning whenever you invite Jesus into your heart, say amen about this.
Amen.
When you receive Jesus into your heart, you have received the seed. You have received the word, and now it's written on your heart. It's written on your mind. Because he is the word of God become flesh. And now we receive that. In Matthew 13:37, and this is Jesus talking about another parable, he says, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Who is he talking about there? He always referred to himself as the Son of Man. Jesus always said, the Son of Man. He was talking about himself. And he's the one who sows the good seed. So again, Jesus is the one that is sowing the seed. He is sowing that seed into your heart. Into your soul when you invite him to come in. That is the sowing that is taking place right there. That is the sowing that we want to have. By receiving him, that is the seed that we want to get. Now, as all seeds, if they're going to bring forth a harvest, they have to be planted. Won't bring forth anything if it's in the granary. It's just going to sit there. If it gets wet, it's going to get moldy. You know, but we don't want that to happen. It has to go into the ground. So because Jesus was the seed, he was planted in the earth, in the tomb, for 3 days. He had to go into the ground and be planted. Why? So that he could come up and now bring forth a harvest. Not just one Jesus now. Many Jesuses now could be created as a result that he was planted. He now grows. He's the seed that's being planted, and as a result of that growth, the resurrection, now many seeds can come forth. You are the seed of God. Let's go on. So we have this process that happened, and this had to happen to in order for us to receive that seed. It says in Galatians 3:29, and if you are Christ's, meaning if you have received him into your heart, you invited Jesus to come into your heart and be a part of you, then you are Abraham's seed. So you've received the word of God, you've received faith, which means you've received Jesus, you've received the seed of God into your heart. That makes you, now remember, a seed brings forth according to its kind. If you have received the seed of Jesus within you, Jesus was righteous, now you are righteous.
Amen.
If Jesus was perfect, now you are perfect.
Amen.
If Jesus could heal, now you can heal.
Amen.
Every seed brings forth according to its kind.
Yes.
And that is the seed that you have received.
Amen.
That is you now. That is your seed. And he says now, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. So why is Paul in Galatians 3 talking now about Abraham? Abraham was back in Genesis. Jesus is in the New Testament. Why is he mentioning Abraham? He's mentioning Abraham because Abraham was the one where the covenant was formed. The covenant where the promises were made. The promises were made to Abraham that things were going to happen again, that he was going to receive blessing and he was going to receive favor, and that he would be right back in with God the way it was planned at the beginning, before anything happened, that Abraham would have that seed. So this is why if we receive the seed of God, now we are made Abraham's seed. So if we receive Jesus, now we become Abraham's seed. Meaning, and when it talks about Abraham's seed, it was talking about his descendants. Remember what God said? I'm going to make you a great nation, Abraham, and your seed will be great. And you'll be a great nation upon the earth. And through you, everybody will be blessed.
Amen.
Everybody will receive the promise. So God, to fulfill this promise, had to get us into the right state. He had to get us into a state of righteousness. And to do that, he had to plant his seed inside of us. See, our seed wasn't like that. If we go to Genesis, here in Genesis 3:15. This talks about our seed. What kind of seed are you? Remember, if you're a seed, you're going to produce according to your kind. So take a look at 3:15. It says, this is God speaking, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. It's talking about your seed and her seed. So it's talking about you. What kind of seed are you before you receive the seed that the sower plants, that God plants in you in the name of Jesus? You're going to bring forth, what is it? You're going to bring forth strife. You're going to bring forth struggle. You're going to have a bruised head. You're going to be, you know, beat up. This is what you're producing. What kind of stuff? You're producing problems. You're producing strife. You're producing struggle. That's the kind of seed you are. Because it was a seed of disobedience. It was a seed of falsity that fell away from what God was doing. That was a problem. So if that's all you're going to bring forth in your life, if that's the seed that you are, it's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
But the good news is God said, no, 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 no. I've got a seed for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you receive Jesus, that seed that is faith, that is the word of God, you are now made righteous. You were made perfect, and now you are Abraham's seed. Now you are Abraham's seed. And if we go to Galatians 3:16, it now talks, now to Abraham and his seed, that's you, were the promises made. And he does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. That's your seed that you received, and now you're Abraham's. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ. That is, it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now, speaking about the law here, because Abraham, when he was around, as it said here, he was before the law. He did not live under the law, Abraham. That's why we're now made Abraham's seed. Listen up carefully. This is an important part. Abraham, his righteousness did not come because of what he was doing. Doing is under the law. It came because he believed. He had faith in God. His righteousness came because he believed and was faithful to God and believed that God would give him promises. Now that's an important thing to know. That means your righteousness, you being perfect, isn't about what you're doing. It's not about whether you're making mistakes or you're not making mistakes. Your righteousness is accounted to you on what you're believing. Are you believing God? Are you believing the promises of God? Are you believing that you have received Jesus into your heart? Then you are righteous. If it's based on doing, now you're under the law. And let's read on here. For the promises, this is Romans 4:13. For the promises that he would be the heir of the world, speaking about Abraham, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. See, that's what we're speaking about in verse 16. Therefore, it is faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's to you. Through righteousness, through faith, through your faith in him. Now, the interesting thing about this, it talks about if there were no law, there would be no sin. Let's give you an example of that. If there was no speed limit, you could not get a speeding ticket. Right? If there was no speed limit, you could drive however fast you wanted. You could go 150 miles an hour. The cops couldn't pull you over. They wouldn't give you a ticket. There would be no condemnation. There'd be no court case. There'd be no points on your driver's license. Why? Because there is no law. And this is what God is trying to do for us. He is trying to put us under faith, under righteousness through faith. That it's not about what you do. It doesn't matter if you go 150 miles an hour. You're not going to get a ticket. I'm saying if there's no speed limit. If there is a speed limit, then there's a law. Right? But if there's no speed limit, then there's no law, meaning there's no condemnation, meaning there's no sin. And that's what God is doing through Jesus. He is giving us a seed that is righteous, that is right, that is perfect, that is without sin. And when we receive that, now we're not under the law, meaning it's not about what you do. It's about what you believe. You have faith. You now receive the righteousness. If you make it about doing, now you have to do things right. Abraham was under righteousness. No, he was before the law, meaning it wasn't about what he was doing. Abraham was able to do incredible things as a result of that. He believed the promises of God. He believed that he would have a great nation. He believed that he would be prosperous. He believed that he would be blessed. As a result of that, when him and Lot had their herds out there in the fields where they were led by God, they had so many animals eventually, there was too many of them. They had to split up and go their separate ways because the animals were multiplying and prospering. They were being blessed. It was bringing forth according to its kind. Multiplication upon. And so they had to divide and go separate ways because they had so many animals. They could not hold that particular ground, so they needed more ground. That's the blessing that Abraham had. Now, that blessing was on him no matter what he did. It wasn't about his doing. It was about what he believed. And he believed God. Even when he lied to Pharaoh and said that Sarah, his wife, was actually his sister, and Pharaoh took her to become his wife, he took her, what happened to Abraham as a result of that? Abraham was given riches. He was given herds. He was given abundance by Pharaoh. And then his wife was returned to him unharmed, unaffected, and they were able to leave Egypt without him losing his head or being killed. Why? Because it's not about what he's doing. Even though he lied, it has nothing to do with that. He's believing God, and that's what gives him righteousness. That's what makes him perfect. It's his believing. That's the seed. You're the seed of Abraham. Meaning you bring forth according to that kind. It's not about what you're doing. It's about what you're believing. Are you believing God? Yes. Are you believing in his promises? Are you believing that you're blessed? Are you believing what he told Abraham, that you're going to be a great nation? Yes. You're Abraham's seed. As a result of that, you're walking in that way. In 1 Peter 1:23, listen to this. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's who you are. Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
You've been born again, not of corruptible seed, meaning whatever you do, it's not going to count against your, it's not going to be points on your license because there is no law. You've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. Why incorruptible seed? Because you've received Jesus into your heart. You've received Jesus into your heart, and he is righteous. He is good. And because you have faith in that, in those promises of God, you are made righteous.
Amen.
You are made perfect. It's not about what you're doing. Meaning, it's not corruptible seed anymore. It's incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted. You cannot be corrupted after you've received that seed. You're going to bring forth according to that kind of seed. That is the seed that you are now. You're not the seed no longer of strife and struggle that Adam and Eve were, that we read about in Genesis 1. No. You're a whole new seed now. You've been born again.
Amen.
You've been created a new seed. In 1 John 3:9, it says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. His seed, God's seed, remains in you. Meaning, Jesus remains in you. Jesus' righteousness remains. What is Jesus going to produce if he is that seed? He's going to produce goodness. He's going to produce healing. He's going to produce prosperity. He's going to produce peace. That's the seed that he is. You plant him in the ground, that's what you're going to get. You plant that in your heart, that's what you're going to get in your life. You're going to get the blessing. You're going to get the prosperity. That's the seed of Abraham right there. Say amen.
Amen.
Good job.
Praise God.
So one born of God does not sin. Because you've got a different seed inside of you. It's not about what you're doing. It's about what you're believing. And the great thing is as we believe God, he is transforming our hearts and our minds to take different actions. So I'm not saying everybody's going to be running around committing crimes and stealing and lying and all these things. No, because as the seed is on the inside, that's what it begins to produce. It begins to grow inside of us. The seed being Jesus, he's going to begin to produce goodness inside of us. He's going to begin to produce love and peace in our life. And that's going to begin to come forth. And that will change our actions. But we have to know what kind of seed we are. Why? Because if you think you're the seed of strife and enmity that God talked about in the beginning, if that's who you think you are, then that's what you're going to produce. Your believing is about your doing, about doing the wrong thing. If your believing is about doing the wrong thing, now you're under the law. If you're under the law, now there's condemnation. If you're under the law, then you're sinning. If you're under the law, then there's problems. But that's not the promises that God gave to Abraham. That's not what he fulfilled through Jesus. He talked about bringing us into righteousness. Why? Under faith, that we have faith to believe what he said, that he would make us great, that he would bless us, that he would see us as righteous. In all ways. That is where we're going. And that is the seed that you are. You are the seed of righteousness. You are the seed of blessing. You are the seed of prosperity. You are the seed of health because you have Jesus within you. And it's all about what you believe and not what you're doing. Does that make sense? Amen. Praise God for that because that's what God did. He promised Abraham all those years ago, thousands of years ago, he promised Abraham this. He promised that his seed, which is you, would walk in the same blessing that Abraham walked in. Abraham did things like lying, but it didn't affect him. He still was blessed. He still increased. Why? Because he was walking in faith, believing in God. And as long as he was walking in faith, he was righteous. We are made righteous not through the law. It's not through you do good, you get good, you do bad, you get bad. That is the law. And as we know, we always make mistakes under that kind of system, meaning we'll always get bad. So nobody became righteous under the law. We are made righteous through faith. Abraham was righteous through faith. You are righteous through faith. You are perfect through faith. You are perfect through believing in Jesus and receiving that seed into your heart. That is the seed that you have in your life.
Amen.
And it will produce according to its kind. It will produce the blessings. It will produce the peace. It will produce the love, the health, the healing. It is all yours because you are the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
As you go forth into the world, I want you to remember this. Remember, you are the seed of Abraham. And remember what kind of seed that is. Don't be fooled by other types of seeds. Remember what the seed of Abraham is. There are fake seeds out there that will produce nothing. They will produce nothing but the seed of Abraham, which is through faith, receiving the seed of God, the Word of God, Jesus, into our hearts, will produce. It will never fail. You will have the hundredfold blessing. Don't let it be pulled out of your heart the minute you receive it. Hang on to it. Make sure that it grows a root, continually feeding it so they get the roots get down in there and hold it strong no matter what kind of wind is blowing. Receive it fully and completely. And don't let the things of the world distract you. Parties, events, Super Bowls, whatever it happens to be that's trying to pull your attention away, know that if I'm going to produce the hundredfold blessing, I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to stay strong. I know where my blessing comes from, and it's from God. And I am the seed of Abraham.